how are you dealing with the situation now? What is going on in Iran, according to the humanitarian crisis there?
Well, as you know, that these floods were once massive floods that we had. It started around the 23rd and the 24th, and the peak of the floods was on the 27th. The floods are once in a 50-year type of flooding that Eritrean has experienced, and since the flooding occurred, we have been working very closely with the government and also with other humanitarian actors, including from the UN family, to make a substantial response, to ensure a substantial response to the challenges from the flooding.
In Hirshabelle, one of the worst hit area, around 295,000 people have been affected and more than 145,000 people forced from their homes due to the floods. So what are you doing now? What are you busy on now?
We have ensured the delivery of food items to WFP. We've also ensured the delivery of mobile health clinics to UNICEF. We've also arranged sufficient water for a number of displaced camps. We've also provided boats so that some areas that are not accessible can be reached. And we've also provided latrines as well for IDP camps. So we have focused on making sure that health facilities are provided to persons who are displaced by the flooding, and as well as ensuring that food and nutrition is also being provided.
Yeah, gentlemen, the people of the city, they are suffering from the floods. And as you know, floods destroyed roads, bridges, houses, farms, corpses, and other infrastructure. How are you going to prioritize these needs? How are you going to prioritize these needs?
That's a very important point you raised, and we have that in mind, that we will have a recovery plan that will address a number of areas, such as damage to infrastructure caused by the flooding, damage to water sanitation facilities caused by the flooding. We will work closely with the government in light of the available resources we have to determine how the funding will be used to address some of these challenges.
How are you working with the international community to help the needy people? How are you working with? How is your cooperation with the international community?
We're working very closely with partners in the international community, and some of them are already in the airport. As you're aware, that there were food donations from the government of Turkey and Qatar. They've also had substantial responses from the Danish Refugee Council. We've also had other partners. The government of Djibouti has also provided assistance, and therefore we have had very positive responses from international partners, and we are coordinating closely with them to make sure that the resources are used properly and very efficiently. We have also issued several flash appeals to raise the profile of Eritrean, to make sure that the challenges from the flooding are properly understood. We've also worked closely with colleagues outside Somalia to ensure that there is critical funding being made available to address some of our challenges.
Yeah, you just told me that you have get donations or help from some countries and agencies. So do you think that donation you have, is that enough for the people affected these floods?
Well, I mean, we will continue to, of course, we will continue to mobilize resources. We will continue to reach out to donors to see what can be made available. There are still needs, clearly, for Eritrean, and We must remember that Benin is not the only affected area.
Mm-hmm.
Further downstream, Bilobutu, Tararaki, there's still needs in those areas that we will need to look for resources to address. And so, please, through your medium here, where we will appeal for more funding, more resources, so that we can make a difference. We can continue to make a positive difference in light of this flooding.
As we heard, the city is just divided two parties, and it's not easy to access the other part of the city because of the floods that affected the area. So, what are the challenges you are facing now?
Yes, indeed. As I said before, that access, as you mentioned, access could be difficult because parts of the city, particularly after the second flooding on the 11th of May, were cut off. We have made available some boats to be able to carry humanitarian materials across to West Beretwain. Some partners have also provided some riverine equipment, which we are using to get to West Beretwain. But we accept that there may be other parts of Beretwain that are still cut off, and we're working with all our local partners to reach all affected areas.
Do you think that you will get the extra fund? Do you think that you will get an extra fund, since we know there is a lot of crisis in the region?
Well, you said it, that there is a lot of crisis, the needs are unlimited, and the resources are limited. We're generally optimistic we will be able to reach out to donors. Whether they can support us eventually, we will see. But we remain optimistic. We're working closely with donors. The funding issue is also something we are encouraged by the support of the diaspora. The diaspora has taken note of what has happened. The Somali diaspora has taken note of what has happened, and they are also contributing through different channels to address some of these challenges.
The federal government of Somalia pledged 1 million for the flood's response. How is this coming along to support your relief effort?
Yes, I need to mention that the Deputy Prime Minister visited Beretwain, and that was a very positive move. They are working, the federal government and the state government are working on the disbursement of whatever funding that is being provided through this channel.
The impact of this flooding, this is coming yearly, and the people are really suffering. So, do you think that you can get a long-term sustainability solution to address the challenge?
You're perfectly correct that some of the flooding raises questions of resilience, making sure that we are resilient to the various droughts, whether it's drought, whether it's flooding, and this is the big strategic planning which has been taken into account by the federal government as well as the UN. In the coming months and years, we should have a plan that looks at some of the resilience challenges and be able to make sure that Beretwain and the other parts of Mili Shabere are not affected.
How can we distinguish the response in the two scenarios? Is the call for funding for floods separate from the one for the drought? Did 5.4 billion call anticipate these floods?
There's a humanitarian response plan, basically, which we are using at the moment. And we also will, to some extent, also do some reprogramming of resources where it's possible, so that the funding, the resources which are allocated earlier for some emergencies, then made available for this emergency. We would like to get it. We would like to assure you that we will try to respond as much as possible where possible through some reprogramming of funds. We did it.
But this question is: there are severe weather advisory issued for Somalia and Yemen, tropical cyclone to develop in the Gulf of Aden coming hours. So, how are you concerned about that new advisory issued for Somalia and Yemen? Do you think that this will impact or will influence the flood?
Oh yes, we have seen reports of flooding, expected flooding in Puntland and Somaliland. So far, we haven't heard that. The weather advisory has not included Iran and Midishavele, but we are vigilant.
Okay, my last question is, do you think that you will have been in a position to avert further suffering and even death?
Yes, I'm very confident that our responses will make a difference. It's not just the response from the international partners, but also the response of the Somalis themselves will make a difference to some of this. Our hope is that the waters will recede in the coming weeks, and then we can focus on recovery.